knows what we need. And he hears and he answers prayer. My topic is, well, I want to turn to Ephesians 5 before I give my topic. And I put this in a Christmas card a few years ago. And I know one person in the church called me and said, "What did you mean by this? You think I'm asleep?" But I gave it to everybody, and including myself. Ephesians 5, starting with verse 14. "Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And I want to talk about the will of the Lord. You know, when I read this scripture, this picture came to me. And I know there was a vision one time given for the church in the end times, that the church of God would rise up, that it was like a giant that would rise up. But every time that it rose up, all these little imps would run away. But then it would lay down again, and the imps would get right back on it again. But as I was thinking about this scripture, I looked at our spirit man. A spirit man is alive unto God. That is the real us. But you know, it has sometimes been such a small part of our life that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things overtake our spirit man, and we are living by the lust of the flesh and by our feelings, our emotions, and everything else. And God is not in that. God is in our spirit man. Our spirit man is what's born again. That's the thing that's alive unto God. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that spirit man is brand new. It is born again. You are a new man. Now, it tells us what to do with the rest of us. I'll be very honest. I have this pet beef that I've got more people coming, and God said this, and God said that, and they are led around by the nose, and we can't argue with you because you say you are led by the Spirit of God. God is talking to you. You know, a lot of times what we think God is doing, we are led around by our feelings and by our emotions. And we need to differentiate between the two of them. Man is a spirit being. That is the real you. He has a soul and he lives in a body. We all have been to the deathbed of somebody. When that spirit man leaves that body looks different. It's, you can see it's a tent. There's no life in it. Our body has absolutely no life without the Spirit of God in there. Now, we can control what our body does if we will start renewing our mind to the Word of God. We need to be constantly be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That we will be doing until Jesus returns. We are not perfect, you know. I better start sticking to my notes because I'm running way ahead of time. Peter called the spirit man the hidden man of the heart. That's Peter 3, verse 4. And 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." He's talking about the inward man. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." How can we do that? Our spirit is blameless. But you see, as we renew our mind to the Word of God, it will control what our body does. You see, our body has no mind of its own. It likes to make you think it does. It will talk to you. "I don't want to do this. I don't want to exercise. Boy, that one talks loud to me all the time. I want to eat. I want to do this. But really, it has no power unless we give it to it, and we do it by our soul, by our emotions, by our mind, and by our will, which God has given us. We have choices. Okay. Paul begins with the inside and works to the outside. We usually begin with the outside and work to the inside. And so we need to become more spirit conscious to be led by the Spirit of God. Our spirit needs to become the strongest part of us. Many people will use the spirit and soul interchangeable. They leave the impression that the soul and the spirit is the same. You know what? If that's the way they do, they don't understand the war that goes on inside of us. Haven't you have it that you argue with yourself? Spirit says this, your mind says that. Our mind will reason. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even asunder of the soul and the spirit." So it's separate. The soul and the spirit are two separate things. Now I wrote a note here. The word of God is not simply a collection of words from God, a vehicle for communicating ideas. It is living, life-changing, and dynamic as it works in us. With the incisiveness of a surgeon's knife, God's word reveals who we are and what we are not. It penetrates the core of our moral and spiritual life. It discerns what is within us, both good and evil. The demands of God's word require decisions. We must not only listen to the word, we must also let it shape our life. So in other words, we have to be a doer of the word of God. You know what? And I learn by doing. Somebody shows me how to do something on the computer. I had it when Nick was away last week. My internet wasn't working. They had showed me how to fix it. I went downstairs. I saw more than one wire. And I said, now, which wire was it? I was scared to pull any wire. And I was stuck. So finally, Wendy told me, well, just pull one wire, you can't do any damage, and it will work. But you see, I have to do it myself in order to understand what I am doing. It's the same with the Word of God. We listen to the Word of God, and we say, wow, that is great. But unless we do it, we will forget all about it. It's like looking in that mirror and seeing our face and walking away, forgetting what we wear. You know, we need to do it. We need to practice it. Whatever God says in His Word, we do it. We do it. Doesn't matter what we feel like. It doesn't matter if it feels good or it doesn't feel good or if we get immediate results. We do it because the Word of God says it. If we do that, our spirit will grow and become bigger. In Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Jesus said in Matthew, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or his innermost being, out of our spirit man, shall flow rivers of living water. The Amplified says, continually, rivers of living water will flow from us. I couldn't help but think again about the song. He wraps himself in light. You know, we can wrap ourselves in light. And out of that flows those rivers of living water that bring life and healing and wholeness to those people whose life we touch. Have you ever walked past a person? And you've seen, I had it the other day. I walked out of the church and there's a lady in a wheelchair sitting at the back of the church. And I was just going to walk past and go to the bathroom, mind my own business. And the Lord checked me. So I walked back. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I walked back. And I prayed with her and hugged her and talked to her. I have no idea what purpose. But, you know, we need to be sensitive to that check in our spirit. If we see somebody and something just draws you to them, take a moment. I mean, even if it's just a compliment or just a friendly word, see where the Lord leads you, you know, but do something. We have rivers of living water flowing out of our spirit that can touch lives, that can heal bodies, that can lift burdens. We have the answer to this world. We are to wake up out of our slumber. We are to wake up out of our sleep and rise up and ignore everything that goes around you. I spoke last week about turning your face to the wall. I don't know how many of you did that this week, but I'll guarantee you, as you were doing that, your mind was telling you all kinds of stuff. It was telling you, you fool, you can't listen to that. You know, this is reality. This is the way things are. And your mind starts reasoning the power of God away. It takes effort to shut off this mind. You don't always shut it off. Please don't. God gave us a mind and he didn't take it away from us when we got saved. But in some things, we need to just blindly follow the Lord Jesus Christ instead of our feelings and our emotions and quit the reasoning. And I haven't got a clue where I am in my notes. A man's spirit, the innermost man, the real, I was going to take a drink. The real man receives eternal life and is born again. But his intellect and his emotions, which compose the soul, still have to be dealt with. They are not born again. They are renewed. And you know what? That takes a four-letter word. W-O-R-K. Work. And we don't like work. We would just like to pray a prayer. You know, we have trouble with something. We don't see it as much today. But there was a time somebody had trouble with eating. We cast out the spirit of gluttony. Get out in Jesus' name. Wish it was so easy, you know. But it takes work. It takes a decision, you know. Somebody had trouble with sex. Cast that spirit out. You know how that spirit got in them in the first place? By doing it habitually, being immoral, being a liar continually. You know, if you tell one lie, a spirit don't come in. But if you continually do it, after a while a spirit gets a hold of you, it's harder to get rid of, especially if you've gotten into the habit of doing those things. You know, I wish it was so easy that everything that troubles us, we could just cast it out. The trouble is, we cannot cast out the flesh. We have to crucify the flesh. That means when that flesh is crucified, you will not allow it to speak. You are telling that flesh what to do, not the flesh telling you what it wants to do. You know, there is a scripture, and I've got it here somewhere if I can find it, that Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Trouble with a living sacrifice is it wants to walk off the altar. I walk off the altar all the time. You know, I'm going to give this body, Lord, to you. I give my emotions and my will. And something happens, and you know what? True, I'm off that altar. We need to Stay on there. You know, we need to let go of our own decisions. James 1 verse 21 says, so get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted, not just implanted, but rooted in your heart, contains the power to save your soul. And that's out of the Amplified Bible. You know, doesn't just happen to speak to it. We need to do it. We need to get rid. We need to work at getting rid of those things in our life. It says, be not conformed, Romans 12 verse 2, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a process. It will probably never finish until you go home to be with the Lord. Our spirits are born again, and our soul can be renewed or restored by the word of God. With our spirit, we contact the spiritual world. With our soul, we contact the mental world. And with our body, we contact the physical world. You know, I've said it, and probably you've said it, I must die to self. You know, that's wrong. Self is the part of us that's born again. It's the real us. It's really the person that is, but we need to crucify the flesh. We need to get rid of that. We need to not give it so much attention. In Romans 6, verse 13, it says, neither yield to your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. After you are born again, your body is going to want keep on doing the same things it has always done. But Paul said not to let it. We don't let it. We say no. Spiritual, when the men, before we knew God, it says we became, when we got saved, the old things were gone. The old man was gone. With that, spiritual death was in there. Nature of the devil was in there. Hatred and lying was in there. But now the love of God is in there. Don't let it lay dormant. You know, it's so much nicer to love than it is to hate. You know, what is so wonderful about keeping a grudge? You have no idea what I went through. No, you have no idea what I went through either. But you see, love never fails. It's not our own love. It's God's love. And because our spirit is alive to God, we have God's love inside of us. Now for us to awake it out of sleep, awake that love out of sleep, and let it rise up from the dead. Because with a lot of us, it's laying there dead. As long as people are nice to us, we can love them and be nice to them. When people are nasty, boy, Jesus said when he was reviled, or Peter says about Jesus, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He said, but I can't just let him off. Why not? Do you want to live in darkness, or you want to live in light? Do you want to wrap yourself in light? So that darkness will hide when you come into a place. But you know, if you respond to a person who is nasty and miserable, what we're doing is we're wrapping ourselves in darkness. And we look just exactly the same as everybody else. We need to rise up. We need to wake up out of that sleep. And we need to give our spirit strength, so that we can walk through this evil world and bring light to those that are lost. There was a little girl that gave her testimony that was neglected, and she got into alcoholism. She was abused. She gave her body for sexual she wouldn't even remember in the morning who she'd slept with or done anything with. And she worked with two girls from the church. And those girls were different. And she was nasty to them. But they respond in love. Today, this girl is saved and serving the Lord, full of the love of God. You see, it makes a difference how we react to people. We can react with the power of God. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That gives us the power to walk the walk. You know, we are baptized. If you want to wake up your spirit, pray in tongues for a while. You know, your understanding is unfruitful. The understanding is part of your emotions and your soulical part. But you see, our spirit is praying in the perfect will of God. And it knows when you don't have the strength to do something. I know there's different times that I've gotten desperate, that I've been in a situation, and boy, do I want to retaliate. And can I retaliate? Oh, sure. I can be really, really good at it. I can be as nasty as the next of us. But you know, a lot of times when I feel that way, I'll go in the bathroom somewhere and I'll pray in tongues till I've got the peace of God. And then I'll go in and react to that situation. Because that is the tool that the Lord has given us. He knew we needed something besides. It's the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that rises up big in us so that we can do. The love of God is in there. Now the nature of God is in our spirit. This is the man who is to be the dominant one. We are to listen to him because it is through this man, through our spirit, that God will guide us. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. You know, when we're convicted of sin, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's our spirit telling us what we're doing is not right. And there's scripture for that. It's in John 4, John 16, verse 8 to 11. And when he comes, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. That's what the Holy Spirit convicts us of. That we do not believe in Jesus. When we are convicted of sin, it is our spirit connected to the Spirit of God that will tell us when we're doing something wrong. If we're born again, our conscience can be our guide. Now, if you constantly harden your heart, you know, your conscience will not be a good source. But if we stay alive unto God, our conscience will be a good way to tell us if we're doing what God tells us to do. Paul said he always obeyed his conscience. In Romans 8, verse 16, it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Too many people think that this witness he's talking about is a physical something. You know, if I feel a little goosebumps or I feel that, you know what? I'll tell you honestly, mostly I don't feel anything. But I have to do what is right, and the end result will show that I followed God instead of my own feelings. Feelings is the voice of the body. Reason is the voice of the soul or mind. And conscience is the voice of the feeling, of the spirit. If we are led by feelings, we're going to be in trouble. I have been times that, you know what, I come out of a service, I'm way, way up there. I'm flying high. Life is wonderful. Couldn't be any better. And somebody says one word to me. Maybe they're not even aware of what they say. And it's like somebody popping my balloon with a needle. And my ee goes down. That's my feelings. Has nothing to do. What has changed? You know, when you feel that way, you need to ask yourself, what has changed? What has changed in my life? And mostly, there isn't anything that has changed. It's just our feelings, our emotions, and they lie to us all the time. One example of that is when you try to diet, and I've done lots of it over the years. Come about 9 o'clock at night, I'm hungry. Body says, boy, am I hungry. I just can't. I really should have a sandwich before I go to bed, or a piece of cake, or a piece of cheese, Dutch cheese. I just need that. Now, I eat breakfast every morning now, but I never used to be a breakfast person. So, you know what? I fight the battle, and I don't eat anything. Next morning, I get up, I go to work, I work till lunchtime, and then I eat. And you know what? I was hungry at night. So what happened? My feelings were lying to me. My body was lying to me. I wasn't hungry. It just wanted me to not do what I was doing. I was making it get under my thumb there. And it rose up and said, no, you don't. In the Acts of the Apostles and elsewhere in the Bible, we see how many times people received guidance through vision. And, you know, we have people that start to try and interpret every dream they've got because all dreams are spiritual dreams. We can have a spiritual dream. But if you really have to dig to get the meaning of it, I'll guarantee you it was probably the spaghetti or the pizza you had the night before. You know, like, don't get into flakiness. You can be led around by the nose by getting into things that aren't of God. We read that others received guidance from an angel who appeared and told them certain things. But the Bible also teaches we are not to be looking to angels. Angels are there and they're ministering spirits to those who shall be heirs of salvation. But they only hearken to the voice of his word, not to our looking for them, you know. And people that had visitations like that or had a dream like that, they didn't have them every other night or every other week. They only had two or three in their whole lifetime. So don't be looking for a special phenomena to be led by the Spirit of God. Too many times when God is trying to bear witness with our spirits, trying to guide us, we won't listen because we want something dramatic like a vision or an angel. And if it's the Word of God, which is our sure guide, the Word is what leads us. In the Old Testament, Gideon put a fleece out to the Lord. But that was living under the Old Covenant. We have a new covenant with better promises. And, you know, we can get fleeced by a fleece because fleeces are in the sense world. You know, that's before our spirit man was born again. We could not be led by the Spirit. But now we have better promises and we don't have to work through fleeces anymore. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, it's got to be God because everything is going smoothly. Uh-uh. You know, if that's true, then those meetings this weekend were not of God. Because I'll tell you, anything that could possibly happen, happened. To cause it to try and stop it from happening. Just because we get opposition is not necessarily that it is from God either. We need to go by our spirit man and find the Word of God to get direction. A lot of times we don't want to take responsibility for for ourselves. So we blame God. Well, God told us to do it. I had a person in our church years and years ago when we first started. And men, they dreamed and visioned themselves from one disaster to another. You know, there was, every time they had this new dream and this new vision, and we couldn't argue with them. They had it from the Lord. And so finally I said to him once, I says, wouldn't you be successful if it was a dream from the Lord or a vision from the Lord? If he led you that way, would it end in disaster? And they said, that's not our responsibility. So, you know what? They're still, the last I heard, they were still dreaming and visioning their way all over the Niagara Peninsula from church to church to church, having one disaster after the other. You know, we can't live like that. We need to get direction from the Word of God. It is easier just to get the Lord to show us real quick instead of having to wait on the Lord for an answer. God is not in a hurry. Sometimes we're in such a hurry to make a decision that can change our life forever. Nick and me had the pleasure of taking a trip to Israel a number of 2 years ago. And there was two young girls on the trip with us, and they were sweethearts. Nice girls, but they had a desire to marry, you know. And I saw the oldest one of the two, and she's 31 now, still single. I says, where's your friend? Well, she's looking for a husband. So she ran to a church and reverted back to head covering, long hair, long skirts, all the holiness on the outside, just to catch a man. You think she'll be happy if she catches one in there? It'll be awful. You know, once you have been made free, why would you go back under that kind of bondage? Let your moderation be known to all men. You know, don't stick out as a sore thumb this way or the other way. Be moderate in your dress code. But, you know, don't go and try to be holy on the outside when God wants our heart. We spend practically our entire lifetime in the mental and physical realms. We've developed our head a lot of times at the expense of our heart. The knowledge of our intellect has taken the throne in our life, and our spirit, which should guide us, is kept locked away in prison, so to speak, and not permitted to function. You know, Jesus called the disciples to be the one to initiate the kingdom of God here on this earth. They were unlearned men. Now, I'm not taking away the great benefit of an education. Don't misunderstand me. But don't put all your hope in an education. Because if you get it intelligently, sometimes you will not get it spiritually. I had a nephew of mine who was born with fluid on the brain, totally deaf, was going to the handicapped school, and somebody prayed for him. And he was totally healed, went and studied for the ministry. When he studied for the ministry, the professor said, you know, when the Isaiah 53 talks about by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, that wasn't physical healing, that was spiritual healing. He gobbled it up. After he's experienced such a tremendous miracle, people, wake up out of our sleep. Wake up, allow that spirit to rise up so that you can believe God. Don't allow the reasoning of your mind. Don't allow the feelings and emotions of your body, the circumstances that touch your life. Don't let it steal what the Spirit of God wants to do in your life. wrap yourself in light. The Word of God is the light. Jesus is the light. Wrap yourself in Him so that we can go forth from this place and be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to, you know, my notes, I feel sorry for Sarah having to follow me because I'm very hard to follow today. An example, I want to give you an example out of the Bible of the inner witness. In Acts 27, verses 9 and 10, it was when Paul was going to Rome and he got shipwrecked. And so now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of and the ship, but also of our lives." He perceived. Didn't say the Holy Ghost said. He said he perceived. He perceived it in his spirit after spending time in prayer. He did not say the Lord told me or the Spirit of God told me. He said, "I perceive." He perceived it in his spirit man or in witness. Acts 27, verse 20 to 21. "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appears, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be safe was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood up in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, you should have listened to me.'" Didn't say, "should have listened to the Spirit of God." He said, "you should have listened to me." Do you have authority in your life? Is your spirit growing so much that you can say to someone, "you ought to listen to me"? Not because we have it always right, but because we have spent time with the Lord and we have that inner witness. Acts 27, verse 21 to 25. "You should have listened to me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I have believed God that it shall be even as it was told me." So, it was Paul speaking, not the Holy Spirit speaking. But he received it from the Holy Spirit in his spirit. Now, there are times that the Holy Spirit will speak to us directly. I've had a few of those occasions, and then it has more authority than when it's your spirit man speaking. Because if the Holy Ghost speaks, it's like almost you are arrested. And there was one time when we had tried to sell some of our land. We couldn't get a separation. And a neighbor was talking to Ralph, and I was sitting in the house right underneath, right above them on the window, had the window open. And the neighbor said something, and God spoke to me and said, "if you do that, you will get it." And against all odds, we got exactly what we asked. That was the Holy Spirit arresting me right there. It had authority. I never doubted it for one minute, you know. But Paul didn't say, you know, he said, "I perceive, I saw," you know. And it makes it so much different. You know, as pastors, when people come to us and say, "the Holy Ghost said, well, I'm supposed to do this," and we look at it, and we feel like it's all wrong. It's like almost spiritual intimidation. How can we say Spirit of God didn't say it? You know? But a lot of times we are, if it's the spirit man, we can be wrong. We can perceive something wrong. So we need to check it out. We need to check the Word of God and make sure we're in line. Everything that we receive needs to agree with the Word. If the Holy Ghost speaks, it is the Word. If it's not the Word in the Word, don't do it, because then it could be wrong. So you need to go by what the Word of God says. The Bible is the inspired by the Spirit, and it is the same Spirit who's speaking to you, and it's going to be in line with the Word of God. The Bible says there are many voices in the world. We make sure we listen to the right voice. The devil is very experienced at deceiving, much better than you. I know some people, boy, they're expert liars. And sometimes you almost believe what they're saying except for their reputation, you know. But the devil is a lot more expert at it. He's been doing it for 7,000 years at least. So be careful what you hear. Line it up with the Word of God. There are some people who've gotten off by following voices. There are many voices in the world. We are not to accept anything without examining it in the light of the Word of God. God does not communicate with us through our spirit, but it is a matter of listening to voice. It isn't a matter of listening to voices. It is a matter of praying to hear something. If he speaks to us, all right, but if he doesn't, we have his word, and we can walk in the light of it. I always have this example, which I thought was, I still think it's one of the very couple, I'll give you these couple, and then I'm going to quit. When we had the school going, I was finished. The pressure was great, and we had finished the school year. I had a teacher's meeting a week after that, and I was really, it's probably the greatest struggle spiritually that I've ever had to face. And my son Tim had been visiting Wassenaar's, and Henriette had given a bunch of flowers for me. And it was June, late June. It was a heat wave. And you know, we all know Tim. Tim would forget his head if it wasn't screwed on. So you know what? He left them in the car. And at Monday night, he comes home from work. And he brings in this dead bunch of flowers to me. Now, you have to know me. I love flowers. But if there's anything I detest, it's to have half-dead flowers sitting on my table. Like, as soon as they start dying, they go in the garbage, you know. It reminds me of a graveyard, and I don't want that. So I took the bunch of flowers, walked to the garbage can, lifted up the lid, and I was going to do it. And I believe that was the time the Holy Spirit arrested me and said, don't do it. Put them in water. So it was so strong, I didn't dare resist. I could have resisted. But I put them in a vase, in the water, didn't think anything of it, left for an hour or so, came back. When I came back, those flowers were gorgeous. They were beautiful. Didn't look like they'd ever been dead. It was just they were alive. And God gave me this scripture. For there's hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. And its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. You know what? Our lives are that way. Our spirit may lay dormant. It may look like it's dead. But you know, at the scent of water, the water of the Word of God, that spirit will come alive. It will get excited. It will get turned on. It will start overriding what our mind and our emotions and everything tells us. We'll be wrapping ourselves in light, and we'll go forth as that mighty army to reach out to the unsaved, to those that are in desperate need. We're going to lay hands on them. We're going to see miracles. We're going to speak the word of God and give them courage, because we have received that courage through the scent of water by the Holy Spirit. Then there was one other time that I'm going to share with you. And I've shared this quite often, but I always think it's worth repeating. Psalm 27. We were going through a struggle, and I had been crying for a couple of days, which I don't cry that much, but I did. Lorraine called me one morning and said to me, how are you doing? And I said, not so good. So she says, well, Bob and me are going to come over tonight. We're going to pray. And I says, okay, I need that. And I'd been praying, and I just didn't get victory. I was still there. Woo! Talk about a spirit laying dead and dormant. That was me. And I grew up in Holland, went to school for grades 1 and 2, and went to Christian school and learned psalms, to sing psalms in Dutch. And through the last few days, this Dutch psalm, and I never speak Dutch, I never read a Dutch Bible. Dutch is out of my vision altogether. But this Dutch psalm came up to me all the time. And finally, after Lorraine prayed with me on the phone, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to translate it, and I'm going to see where it is. And it was Psalm 27. I want to read just a few verses. And I would suggest that you read the whole psalm when you get home. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me, this is the key, this is the line that delivered me, to eat up my flesh. You know what? Our flesh gets eaten up when we struggle. But you know, our spirit, and it says, my enemies and my foes, they stumble and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, and that's what I've felt like, my heart shall not fear. Though war may arise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me up high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies, all around me. Didn't say they go away. It said they were all around me, my enemies, my head is lifted up. Therefore, I will offer the sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle, and I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. And then later it says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversary, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breed out violence. Didn't say he was free from everything, but his attitude changed. His spirit rose up. My spirit rose up. And I had victory over my enemies. And our enemies are not flesh and blood. They're principalities and spirits in wicked places that come against us, that want to kill our joy, that want to steal the light that's around us so that we can go forth as that mighty army. But it comes to eat up our flesh. He cannot handle our spirit. He has no business touching our spirit. He only can work through the flesh, things that are natural to men. But praise God, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can walk in the power and the anointing of the Spirit and have deliverance in every situation. Praise God. I know God wants to do something here. So we're going to have an altar call. If anybody has struggles in any area at all, I'm going to ask Bob and Lorraine to come up. We're going to pray with you and believe God for a miracle. We're going to, if you just want to have prayer so that your spirit would rise up, so you would be on fire for the Lord, so you can go forth and do the work of the ministry. Because I'll tell you, there's nothing as exciting as when you can share the good news of the gospel with someone who doesn't know. That you can pray for somebody who is sick. It gives you great, it's better than any prize, anything you could possibly win. It is what God called us to do. And we walk in the perfect will of God as we're doing it. So praise God, we're going to get the music group up and make sure I've got a voice left. So don't wait till the 10th verse or anything. If you need prayer for anything, we're here to minister to you. God wants to touch you, and he wants to touch you this morning. Confidence. Oh, you've got a family reunion?
Yeah, picnic right after.
Oh. Lord, I just thank you right now for Kim.